Can't buy me love.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. And those are the Beatles. Maybe the best band ever. And we're glad you're with us. All right, enough of the Beatles. I'm sure you're awake by now after listening to that song. This program, You Get the Blessing, exists because we introduce you each week to people that we think are impacting this community for Christ. And I want to personally thank you for contacting us and letting us know that you understand what we're doing with this program as we allow our guests to share their own faith journey, their own relationship with Jesus Christ, and what they're up to in either volunteer jobs or vocations that they've chosen. And our guest today is Jim Gallinaw. Jim, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bo. Good seeing you, man.
Glad to have you here. Yeah. And we're going to talk about a lot of things leading up to this great Thanksgiving season. But we like to start by allowing our guests to share your own background. So where you're from and what was it like around your home while you were growing up?
Sure. So this is like incrimination right now?
Yes.
So.
And it gets worse.
It probably could get worse, obviously. So, I'm the director, obviously, of Colorado Community Church in regards to the outserving ministries. So I do everything that's outside the walls of the church. And, our whole heart really is to wash the feet of the city. So, you know, we're taking a real serving kind of attitude toward what we do in ministry. And that's part of who I am. Just to give you a little brief understanding of who this guy is that you're talking to. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What year?
I'm not going to tell you that, but 1952. So don't take out your calculator on that one.
Because 1956, my dad played for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
See that? See, so anybody who comes from Brooklyn is anointed.
Amen.
Blessed.
I've often wondered how my parents felt, because Brooklyn, as I've read, was a more important city before World War II than Manhattan.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it kind of switched, but I was thinking, my parents came from Cloud Chief, Oklahoma, population 67. So I'm picturing the culture shock of living in Brooklyn for that time he played for the Dodgers.
And Brooklyn is the fifth largest city in America.
Still. Oh, my goodness.
So there's a lot of people. So with those people, and they're New Yorkers, I was born and raised there in
Brooklyn.
How
many years there?
Probably about 10, 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah, growing up. And so,
can you remember Ebbets Field?
I don't.
You don't? I went there and don't remember anything about it.
I don't either. But
I was seven.
It's a great place. But, you know, the city life is quick and fast. And my background kind of was a little shaky because both my parents were dysfunctional. They had some major issues. My mom was suicidal. She tried to commit suicide twice. And I was there to really pick her up and save her life once. My father was non-existent.
That would be something you would remember.
Yeah. And so that life growing up there was very difficult. I think, you know, there were some really life-changing events, you know, that created in my spirit something that wasn't very good. I became a person after a while who kind of got hooked on some bad stuff. I was recruited in high school at a private high school who was a powerhouse basketball team. And I always vowed that I would never, ever become an alcoholic. I'd never drink like my parents. And so I had a brilliant idea. I became a drug addict. That was amazing.
Took an alternative route.
I sure enough did. And so, you know.
Wait a minute. What At what point in life did you start this?
Well, I started when I was probably in eighth grade.
And so your parents, they were having their own struggles, so there really wasn't faith introduced at all in your family?
None whatsoever. However, we were Lutherans, and so when I started to play ball way back in grammar school, there was a pastor who was really the head coach of Long Island Lutheran High School. That was the premier basketball team really in the state, and it was pretty high level. He saw a little bit in me, and he became my father, actually.
Really?
And so...
You were a shooting guard, weren't you?
Yeah. They used to call me White Lightning, White Chocolate, you know, all this kind of good stuff. But I was just
You
around,
could play ball.
Well, I was around good players, so I played a little bit myself. So you know, in high school, it was a wonderful experience, except, you know, I got into the drug issues. And then finally...
Coach didn't seem to mind about the drugs?
He had no idea. See, they were from Nebraska, and they were only about 6 years older than us, so they had no idea what we were up to. They always knew there was something, but we would never get involved, you know, with the weed and all the other drugs we were on during playing or practice.
But so you rarely did marijuana during practice?
Never. We never did drugs during practice.
I'm just joking. That's a good thing, Jim.
So we were committed, but a little crazy. And so
this coach became like your dad.
He was my dad. He was my father.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Coaches listening to this program today, teachers, know how important you are in the lives of these kids you're impacting.
And he changed my world. But what I didn't realize is that, you know, addictions are tough, and I had to break it. And so it just continued to get worse. And just as I was recruited to go to play college ball my freshman year, the bottom dropped out of me. I was losing my mind in terms of my addiction. I was away from my friends. My mom tried to commit suicide again, and my sister did. And so things just...
How old was she?
She was, I don't know, about 40 at that time.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got to a point in my life where I shut my door after a horrendous night of doing drugs. And I said, you know, God, if you are who you say you are, and those are the words I used, and what my coach said, I'm done. And there was this instantaneous peace that came over my life that I never suspected. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for something that would give me peace in my spirit, and it was Jesus Christ. And right after that, the next morning, I went back to college, and I told my coach I was going to resign from playing the next year, but I'd give him one more year. And I got into ministry as a director of the Salvation Army Community Center in a black community in Connecticut, and that was about 44 years ago. And so I haven't looked back.
You're listening to the voice there of Jim Gallinaw, and Jim is our special guest today on You Get the Blessing, sharing about his background and the moment when he closed the door to his bedroom and was really at the end of himself and said, God, if you're really who you say you are, I'm in. I need it now. So you listeners today that are tuned in, you may feel that driving in your car, sitting in your home today. You may think, I've tried this my way for a long time, and here I sit. Discouraged, brokenhearted, confused, whatever, there is an answer. And that answer is the creator and author of life, Jesus Christ. And available to us is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by simply saying, yes, I will rethink this. I will turn from whatever way I've been going, and I will say yes to your voice like Jim did. So you're saying pretty quickly, Jim, after your conversion experience, we call it being saved. What are you saved from? Saved from sin, saved from yourself. That's why Christ went to the cross, is knowing that our nature is self-centered and sinful and against the things of God. We need someone to represent us, and he does.
Yeah.
And through him, we can be forgiven and have a fresh start, which sounds like was real clear to you. The next morning you woke up with a fresh start.
I sure did. And as a result of that, it seemed that the Holy Spirit that I received that night, that was full of peace, came a destiny that he had for me. And it simply was to have a true compassion of the least among us, because I was the least among them as well.
In Matthew, there's a scripture that says, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me, talking about I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison, you came to visit me. And Christ is the one speaking those words. So
absolutely,
You went right to that.
I was compelled to it. It was like I was shot out of a slingshot and got into ministry right away, you know. And my heart has always been for the least of these. That's why I do what I do. I serve, you know. And I do it in such a way that, you know, I even get embarrassed sometimes when people say, you know, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a sheep herder, you know, especially on the golf course. And that's a good conversation. But later, you know, I tell them that I'm a Rev nerd and then a pastor. And we just have great conversations. But I just feel that, you know, God had to take me from a pit, and he took me not to a palace, but he took me to the streets. And Colorado Community Church, to which I'm, you know, a part of, one of the eight pastors there, they were so graciously allowing me to get out of the walls of the church. And that's where I live. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there now that's going on that's never been there before. I've seen in the last 3 years a dramatic change in the attitudes of people walking in the streets. And so, you know, we want to give folks a hand up, and we want to people know that, hey, listen, this Jesus that I'm talking about is real. And so we've had some great discussions with folks who were homeless, who had some mental illness problems, who even tried to commit suicide. And some of those things I can relate to, like most of us in this world. And so we are at a place right now more than ever where people need to hear the good news
Amen.
Of who Christ is.
Amen. So Jim Gallin, our guest today, is a pastor at Colorado Community Church, church in Aurora. Tell us about someone wants to show up at that church. What time are your services on Sunday morning, and what is the location?
Yeah, I would say this church is very unique in terms of its demographic. We are a multicultural church. And so when you go walk into our church, and it's fairly large, it's about 3,000 people that attend those services, you're going to see all different colors. And I am so honored to be a part of the staff there, because we see a little bit of what heaven's going to be like.
If you see the staff, you're going to see a bunch of different colors.
Yeah, and a lot of crazy people, too. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm one of them.
Me, too. And what time do y'all meet on Sundays?
Well, you know, we have several services, so I would just say, really, you know, get online. All you have to do is go to coloradocommunity.org, get on the website. We have several services. We have two on Saturday. We have about three on Sunday. And they're, you know, and some great music. We have some powerful anointing speakers and musicians. So it is a cool church, and you can come as you are, but you're not going to leave the same.
What are you going to feel like when you walk in there? You're going to be scared, nervous, or what?
Well, they may be scared if they see me, because we smile a whole lot. But there's just a lot of energy there, a lot of smiling faces. You know, the vibe is good. It's authentic. It's real. And I got to tell you this, because, you know, when you look at churches that are starting to really bubble and grow, it's because of what's been taught from the pulpit, what is communicated in the lobbies, is that we want everyone to know that if you want to have a relationship with Christ, you have to be real and you have to be honest. And it's time that we all start taking off our masks and allowing people to just see who we really are. And people get surprised, because we embrace anybody and everybody. And we talk about the love of Christ. We're not here to judge people. We're here to love them. And then God is the one who's going to change lives. But I think that the Christian church today needs to remove the mask and be honest and real on who we are as people.
Amen. And you guys do it well. And it started for you in Brooklyn.
Shoof.
When did you move here?
20 years ago. In fact, you were the first person that I came and talked to. I know that you're old now and you don't remember that back in the day.
did I help or mess you up?
No, you were on the treadmill, because I was talking about maybe, you know, kind of collaborating with you in the Nuggets, because I love basketball, and there was a few folks that were on the team that I wanted to get to and just encourage. But yeah, and so we had a relationship with the Nuggets, and that was a fun time, a fun season. But it was good, man.
I did 20 years plus with the Nuggets as team chaplain, and I loved every minute of it. And it's a great organization.
Yeah.
Jim Martin, who now is the president of Kroenke Sports, is a friend of mine, and I love what they're doing. Tell me what you're looking forward to in the near future here in your role at the church.
Well, you know, one of the things that I get to do is dream. And so I dream about events, and I dream about, you know, what we can do, you know, to serve the community. So we do these out-serving events. So I think about 2-3 weeks ago, we did a fire and police appreciation comic relief night. We've done it a couple of years with the Aurora Police and Fire. And so we kind of established that relationship with them. Next year, we're going to do it again. Obviously, this will be our third year. And we're going to go ahead and do a So You Think You Got Talent. So we're going to go after the fire and police, and they're going to go after each other on that thing. So, you know, we try to create some really cool out-serving events and include the community as well on that. You know, we have a turkey bowl to which you could be one.
What is it?
It's a flag football competition.
You have to be a turkey.
For a bunch of turkeys.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we reach out to the community on that and just
Thank
have a great
so
time.
Much.
Hey, you understand that. It's a good thing. It's football at its finest. You know, and then we all have, you know, another a really cool outreach that we're doing in Aurora. Now, there's a great pastor, Pastor Ron Frierson, who is the lead pastor for Heart of the World Church. And he's been doing this Thanksgiving outreach for 20 years by himself. And one of the things that we wanted to do was really to collaborate with other churches, you know, to get everybody involved. So he didn't even have to take that burden and do it all himself. So we've collaborated with him. We're going to have that that event, I believe, on Wednesday the 22nd, which is a day before Thanksgiving, from about 9:30 to about 3. And so, you know, that is a great event. So we have about 5 or 6 churches involved as well. It's at Hinckley High School in the parking lot. And so Ron's done a great job. We have you know, plenty of room for help, but we're ready to go. So my whole job description really is just to try to dream with God, try to be creative and present these kind of outreach opportunities for anybody.
So on Wednesday, November 22nd from 9 to 4 in the parking lot at Hinckley High School. We used to beat the tar out of Hinckley when I was at TJ.
I bet you did.
Yeah, we used to beat Mickey Lurch every year in the state playoffs
because
of Matt Sterling and Billy Stearns. I was at TJ at the time, but I see Hinckley and I think of Terry Schiessler. He was the baseball coach there. And I went to his funeral. I actually played for him one summer, became a good friend. And at his funeral, I was just sitting in the back row by myself. And one of his relatives said, and Terry's life in part was ruined by Bo Mitchell and John Stearns, who beat him every year in the state baseball playoffs. I was thinking, come on, guys. That's a long time ago. Can't we give it up?
They didn't forgive you for that.
Apparently not. I was just trying to hit the ball hard and went out of the park.
You sure did, didn't you?
Anyway, Hinckley High School, this is a really cool thing. So we need volunteers, listeners. Talking with our guest today, Jim Galanoff from Colorado Community Church. And Jim heads this outreach on the day before Thanksgiving where they're serving food, to give haircuts, pray, other things going on. But they're collecting turkeys, boxes of stuffing, canned corn, canned green beans, mashed potatoes. It sounds like we need a lot of stuff. And so where do they bring those items?
They could bring them on the day of the service, yeah.
Bring them the day of. So whatever you got going that day, maybe you round up your family and you come over there for an hour in the morning, meet Jim and some of the other staff members, and just drop off some stuff that will be serving what kind of mix of folks?
Well, you know, Aurora in the last couple of years has just, I mean, burst from the seams with all these people coming in. So we're going to get a whole lot of different kinds of folks who are coming in, children, homeless folks, people who are in need. People are on that poverty line who can't afford a dinner, and there are a lot of them. Those folks, we want to go ahead and just be love with skin on it.
Absolutely.
And give God the glory for that.
How many maybe will be showing up that day, you guess?
We're estimating about 2,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So we really do need help with all these items, turkeys, yeah, boxes of stuffing, canned corn, canned green beans, boxed mashed potatoes, and volunteers if you can stick around to serve a little bit.
Yeah, and it's set up or even tear down. So, you know, you can come anytime during those hours from about 9:30 or 9 o'clock actually to about 3. If you're there, it'll be a blessing.
You think if I show up, I'll see some of the ball players that 50 years ago we used to beat the tar out of?
You know, you wouldn't be invited, to be honest with you. You got to come with a spirit of love, brother.
Oh, yeah. I need to forget that 50 years ago.
Yeah, you're
we
bitter.
Were competing.
Yes,
this
you
is,
were.
This is competing, folks, for the hearts and souls
That's
of
right.
men and women. And I love what you guys do, and I love your style in doing it, in that You're trying to get out of the walls of the church and get out into this city and meet people where their need is. And on this particular day, November 22nd, just coming up, yeah, the need is let's celebrate some Thanksgiving together and serve a great meal, but serve it in a spirit of
Amen.
Love and friendship.
Yeah, and there's another way people can get involved too. I know that. You know, we have that turkey bowl. It's an outreach for people. It's flag football. It's co-ed. And so we have 11 people on the team. We have to have two women as well. It's going to be friendly because we'll have referees. But, you know, they can get online and figure out, you know, when that's going to be too, because that's going to be a lot of fun. Just building community with people maybe who don't know Jesus, you know, and we'll hopefully show them, and they better show them on the field. What it means to be with Jesus on this one.
You know, my brain works in strange ways, but my brother had a friend named Larry Trachtenberg who went to college with Candace Bergen, very attractive actress, and she was a co-ed, and they played flag football at school, and I said to Track one day, I must have been crazy playing flag football against Candace Bergen. Did you ever get close to her? And he said, truthfully, whether or not it was even part of the play, I did my best to tackle her every play. I thought, that sounds like Larry Trachtenberg. And that's another 50-year-old story. So flag co-ed football.
And then
know,
you got
Jim,
saved.
You're not going to get me in on that.
And
one.
Then you got saved.
I'm going to go back to the, yeah, I'm going back to the turkey Thanksgiving outreach on Wednesday, November 22nd. Anything else here as we close that's just exciting you right now in terms of Colorado Community Church and your role there as a pastor?
You know, no. Yes, of course, because every day we wake up, it's a day to rejoice. And what's going on, you know, in our world today, we've got to find a place where we can honestly be real and honest with each other. And we need Jesus more than ever before. And if we can go the extra mile and be humble and have the ability to listen and understand, I think the world would be a better place. So I know that a lot of people are upset about a lot of things, but I also know that Christ is the peacemaker, and reconciliation can come, but it starts with us.
And our friend Bob Belts always preaches that there's a simple core of truth in the Bible, and that's what Jim just shared with you. It's just a simple core of truth that says Jesus loves us, wants to be in relationship with us, wants to give our life meaning and purpose. So if you're feeling lonely or down the day over any reason, like Jim was when he closed the door to his bedroom that very night when he received Christ, like I was sitting in prison at age 42, just written a book about that called Grace Behind Bars, and these are for you.
Thank you.
Some of the boys over at the church,
Thank you.
Doug,
yeah,
and other pastors.
I appreciate that.
That book really talks about the redeeming power of Christ. He loves us so much. Mm. He accepts us exactly like we are. So don't think you're not qualified. Nobody's qualified. Mm. He loves us just like you are. And yet he loves us so much that he will not allow us to stay the same. Mm-hmm. Once you come into relationship with Christ, watch out, because the good stuff starts to happen, comes in different forms from time to time, but he will bring about the change in our lives necessary to make us the people he intended us to be before the beginning of time. So consider stepping off the fence, jumping in full speed like our guest Jim Gallinaw has done, like I have done, like Mark Klibbe has done, and come into relationship with Christ, because the joy of life really begins at that point. Jim, you're a great guy, and I'm glad you were all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you went through bad stretch, but I'm mostly glad you came through all of that pain and all that mess, and took your mess and now have turned it into this incredible message to the least of these all over Denver. You're doing a great work for our community, and thank you.
Thank you, brother. Let's go play golf sometime.
Be my pleasure.
Amen.
And maybe pray right now, if you would, just a quick prayer for our listeners.
Sure. So, Father, I want to thank you, God, for who you are and what you are to us. And so I pray, Father, that the folks that are listening right now would realize how intense you are to hold on to us tightly and to give us the things that we need to get through to another day. You are a loving God, and I want to thank you for loving us despite ourselves. So be with us, be with Bo, be with the staff here. And again, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing today. We'll see you again next week, folks.